Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you sing it?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know today's date is October the 23rd, 2019. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and we are very, very happy to bring you another edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We're broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio, and we're streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and Link. And we're very, very happy to once again be able to invite our listening audience to this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, that the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation design companies. Also, to address the economic impacts of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment and unemployment of our young African-Americans locally and nationally. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging onto our website at positivechangepc.com. Also, it's brought to you every week by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's Scotton Communications Network.com. That's Scotton Communications Network.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have, as I said, we have a full-packed hour and a half today for our listening audience, and we have the privilege of being able to reach out to the great town of Houston today, and I have on board with us Mr. Ed Jernigan, and Mr. Jernigan's organization is doing some very, very, very powerful things in the African-American community there through his organization. And I'm going to go ahead and bring our guests onto the airways. But before I do that, I want to sort of focus in on why I have Mr. Jernigan here today. City selects firm proposing solar energy farm at former Sunnyside landfill. And this organization is headed by Mr. Ed Jernigan, and they have a, you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, scroll down, you will find the caption on our website, and you will be able to scroll down, read the information concerning the Community Garden Center and his organization, and they're doing some very, very outstanding things there in Houston. And as we always say, without further ado, welcome to Solar Now in the Future with his economic impact on Black America, Mr. Jernigan.
Well, good morning to you, Mr. Ronald Bethay, and thanks for the great job that you do on this radio show. And I had the pleasure of joining you almost 2 or 3 years ago, and it's just admirable to see that you've kept it going. And more power to you. But thanks also for allowing me to be on the show this morning and to express a little bit about what's happening in H-Town besides the Astros.
Y'all got a visitor down there called the Nationals, and they in something called the World Series, so I ain't got to tell you these folks here in the last plantation, they are off the chain about this baseball thing, so it's going to be back and forth. I don't think the fat lady has sung yet, so I think this series is going to go the full number. So we're watching that as it unfolds in front of our eyes. But you got something that I feel is even bigger than this World Series going on, and little do the African American community know that this project that you're working on, and let me sort of give them some background, Mr. Jernigan. I want you to sort of share with our listening audience who Ed Jernigan is and what you are doing with your community economic development union there in Houston. That's a whole story in itself, but I want you to sort of give refresh our listening audience of who you are and what you're doing. But before you do that, I'm going to sort of give them a little information on what we'll be discussing. Mayor Sylvester Turner announced today that the Sunnyside Energy, led by the developer Adore Wolf of Wolf Energy LLC, has won a competition to be considered to repurpose 240 acres of former landfill in the Sunnyside. Subject to meeting certain terms and conditions, the team will construct one of the largest urban solar farms in Texas, if not the largest. It is fitting that the Sunnyside would be the home of one of the largest urban farms in Texas, Mayor Turner said. The project proposes to not only revitalize an underutilized piece of property that has been an eyesore to the community for years, but could also make Sunnyside a more competitive, sustainable, and resilient community. Reinventing the landfill into a solar field will help bring needed economic development to the community and make Sunnyside a part of the international energy transition to clean, renewable energy sources, reducing pollution and limiting climate change in the process, the mayor added. In 2017, Mayor Turner joined the C40 Reinventing Cities and Global Competition and Innovation Carbon-Free and Resilient Urban Projects. Together, the 13 other cities across the globe underutilized parcels of land were identified for redevelopment. Through this competition, the Sunnyside Energy team and engineers, architects, neighborhoods, groups, and artists have created a vision to transform an unmaintained closed landfill into a beacon of sustainability and resilience. Now, I could read on and on and on. This is a press release that was put out by the mayor's office. But the preliminary designs calls for a 70 megawatt solar array generate enough energy to supply 12,000 homes, prevent potential future environmental hazards caused by the landfill, provide power discounts for low-income residents in the neighborhood, train and employ local labor, store and filter water storm on the track to help reduce flooding, include educational attributes, and restore the site. So with that being said, Mr. Jernigan, you've been a part of this vision and this journey. Would you come on in and sort of share with our listening audience a little about your educational background and where you are with this project and what we need to make this become a reality? Because that's what we want to talk to. We want to talk to the mayor of Houston. That will, Dr. Not the mayor of Houston, but the president of Texas Southern University, Dr. Austin A. Lane, of Texas Southern University, because our HBCUs in Prairie View could and can play a major role in this by becoming off-takers for this project. And we want to cut to the chase and hit as to why specifically I brought you on this platform today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bethay. First, let me give a little background on me. My name is actually Ephraim. My mother watched too much FBI back in the 60s, and she named me
Ephraim. Sorry for changing your name, brother.
Hey.
Excuse me.
No problem. But Ephraim Jernigan, and born and raised Houston, Texas, and went to Texas Southern, left and went in the Air Force, did about 5 years, and came back. Worked in the chemical plant industry, Lyondell, for the last 30 years. Just retired last October, and doing community development that I've done the last 20 years, but this is what I really love. And so the South Union Community Development Corporation that I run is a part of Sunshine and Sunnyside, which is this C40 initiative that we're speaking about today. So we teach STEM education, and we've packaged it in a way that our kids can learn through the use of solar, counting thousands of kilowatts versus the old chalkboard. And so we also threw a little agriculture in there as well. And so when this landfill project came up a couple of years ago, our team put together a proposal that was received well by C40's Reinventing Cities, and we won the bid just this past August 29th. So we're less than 2 months into it, but a lot is about to come out of it, and we have about 2 years to get it done. So I'm going to give a little bit more history about how this vision unfolded. Kind of knowing that this would come to fruition, 2 years ago I created our solar outdoor classroom. And that first started with me putting solar on my parents' home. We put 4 kW solar on their home, and we built a 20 by 30 carport, brought STEM kids out on a Saturday, and started teaching them about solar. And what an impact it has made. Then we added the agricultural component. We actually took something they knew, which was soil, and something they didn't know, which is aquaponics. And so aquaponics kicked soil's butt almost sevenfold. And so all of this was building towards the landfill project, which we knew has been an eyesore in the Sunnyside community for 45 years. 45 years, 240 acres been sitting there, Rumor mill says gases were leaking off of it, a lot of different things. So with the project, you have to design something that can be done where if there are gases, it doesn't affect you. And if you're going to do agriculture, you don't utilize soil. Therein comes aquaponics. Aquaponics, you create a barrier. Let me use the illustration. You put a pond on top of grass. Now you have a barrier in between what's in the pond and what's in underneath the soil or the grass. And so aquaponics will be what we'll use to convert a present food desert into a food haven. And also outside of the garden center, which is really what we call the agricultural hub, will become agricultural pods. And pods are just small hubs that will be throughout the community to take away that notion of it being a food desert. And then as grocery stores, a whole bunch of different things are going to come out of this initiative. I think we spoke a little bit about community solar, and that's the move that we're working on right now to educate the community about being a part of the collaborative to be part of the community solar and just educating about kilowatts an hour on the light bill, buying into the solar array, and it's just so much to do. But it's fun when you're doing something that's going to benefit the community as a whole. I know that was the short of it, but we can go in more detail if you have questions.
Well, I think that you did an excellent job in bringing this thing twofold as to what it is that we're doing. You still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, because my screen went black on me for a second. I wanted to make sure we did not lose our contact with our listening audience today. Sometimes it happens in the studio, but we're back up and running. But the bottom line is that we have seen them moving on different paths in the same direction. And what I mean by that, I've had the privilege of working with Dr. Lillian Abrams with Peer Consultants, who is one of the leading environmentalists and renewable energy African-American-based companies doing business in the U.S. Dr. Abrams started her. She was the first African-American woman to receive a Ph.D. in environmental engineering in the U.S., and she started her firm way back in 1978. And she started here in Washington, D.C. with three employees. She now employs over 200 architects and engineers in five offices nationally and two offices internationally. And I've been working with Dr. Abrams, and we put together a five-year green sustainability plan, which I feel strongly would be something that also could be incorporated as a part of what you're doing there with that STEM education.
Amen.
And aquaponics piece. And I'll be talking to Dr. Abrams about that aspect. But TSU, your alma mater,
yes,
Texas Southern University, can play a major, major, major role because you need Texas Southern and Prairie View and a number of our HBCUs in Texas to become off-takers of the energy from this project. And
yes,
what we're referring to for our listening audience, when we say off-takers, we need them to buy these green kilowatts from the Sunshine Identity Initiative. I'm thinking about the Sunshine Identity Initiative, but from your initiative there in Dallas. So It never fails. People wait till I get in the middle of my show, and then calls start coming in. But whoever it is, I'll call them back after I've gone off the air today. But the long and short of this thing, I had the privilege of having Mr. Larry Sally, who is the head of the Small Business Development Center at Benedict University in Columbia, South Carolina. And he is chairman of the board of the group of organization called the HBCU Collaborative Group. Now, this group has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Solar Industry Trade Association, SEIA. And on yesterday at the University of Maryland here in College Park, I had the privilege of being at the Maryland Clean Energy Summit. And I got up and I spoke to the point that all of these initiatives that the young lady from the Solar Industry Trade Association was talking about that they have launched to bring more employment and bring more diversity into this renewal. They like to use the term diversity. Well, I'm like Dr. Claude Anderson when it comes to that with African Americans, with black folks. I'm talking about black American folk. Our people have been here all the time. And we have been marginalized economically in our communities by law for the 400 years we've been here. And when it comes to this economic renewable energy revolution that's sweeping across this country, and when we get to talking about the state of Texas, you will find out that Texas is a totally different animal as it relates to the wholesale markets. Texas has their own interconnect system. They are totally different, but they're in a part of the state is regulated and part of the state is deregulated. Because Texas, when we're talking about Texas, we're talking about a huge, huge state. And because most of our HBCUs that are located in the deeper south are in regulated states, that prohibits projects such as community solar and these type of programs to flourish. So it is a blessing to know that the mayor of Houston has entered this collaboration with these other cities. But from a standpoint of our HBCUs entering into these collaborations with SEIA, but the universities themselves don't have programs in place. And it would seem to me that Dr. Austin A. Lane, the president of your alma mater, would be almost running down the street to set up a meeting to speak to you about this, your program, and how it can tie into the university, because it can serve as a research and development program piece. It can tie into the workforce development training piece. It has so many different tentacles that just make good, solid business sense that could be coordinated by Texas Southern Small Business Office of Small Business Development, which I know that they have, SBCD, I know they'd have one on that campus. So what is the problem, Ed? Why haven't the university been more involved in this process? And it's got to go to Dr. Lane's office, because if he don't bless it, it's not going to fly.
And I'm looking forward to actually opening that door, because we want Texas Southern and Prairie View to not only be a part of the solar purchase aspect, but the agricultural, the jobs, the electrical, the solar installation, all of that. Our youth that are going to those universities need to be knowledgeable, they need to be educated, and take those future jobs. And so we're going to reach out and hope that they will participate and be off-takers, because somebody's going to buy the energy. It might as well be HBCU and save them some money. And so,
let's show the importance of this, because we need to connect the dots for our listening audience. This is how the financing piece on any solar project works. If you have a site, you got the design, y'all have the preliminary, y'all have the blessings of the city, y'all have everything. So the financing piece, there's plenty of financing dollars out there. But before the financing can come in place, the financing entity that's going to provide the venture capital for the project needs to know who's going to buy the energy from the project. That's just basics. And that's across the board 365 degrees for any project anywhere. And our universities, if they don't have solar arrays already on their campuses and they're not prepared to move community solar projects all the way to go. And there's tons of financing out there, but we need to get to the table with our HBCU presidents and decision makers who run the offices of sustainability on these campuses and get this done.
We need to get this done.
And I am going to be sending this broadcast to Dr. Lane's email. I'm going to be following up, sending it to Mr. Larry Salick at Benedict, because they received a $250,000 grant. Now, they're supposed to be the point of the spear. Texas Southern is one of the member institutions of the 14 institutions that they represent. They signed the Memorandum of Understanding back in January 2017 with the former department head of energy, Mr. Monzi. This is Natasha Campbell, who is the chief strategist for this organization. I've reached out to her and asked her to be in contact with me, because not only do we have this that we can present that's right there in front of them, we also have a five-year green sustainability program, which all of this can be incorporated into, and it works hand in hand, and we can go out and find other federal dollars for our universities, but we need to get this program implemented. So I know the difficulty it is trying to get our HBCU presidents on board. We have been in negotiations with Dr. Jenkins, John Jenkins, at Livingston University for almost a year now. With this green sustainability program, and talked with the president. He said he was on board, and then there was no follow through. So I've had to follow through and ask him, look, if y'all not prepared to move, we can understand that. We have done everything we could do in providing you the data that you need. All we need you to is respond to us with the data. We can finish with the proposals and move forward. But if you're not prepared to move, then we want you, Dr. Jenkins, to champion this concept and speak to our other HBCU presidents, because they seem not to listen to nobody but each other. And this is something that I learned over the years. I used to be a volunteer with the National Association for Equal Opportunity of Higher Education, NAPIO, that represents all of our HBCU presidents here in Washington, D.C. And this is something Dr. The Vice President sort of taught me. So these are things that have to be done, and we need our HBCUs all over the country to weigh in, because this program that you have designed in Houston can serve as a national model.
Mr. Bethea, let me explain something. Actually, this is an international model because the C40 Reinventing Cities is international. And usually what happens is all of the landfills, the large parcels of land that nobody wants, are usually in our African-American communities. So if we can take this as an example and start utilizing abandoned properties in African-American communities and create solar farms and agricultural hubs, then we can change the world and we can save our community. So this is much bigger than national. This is international. We're on a stage that others can see and replicate, and we can change the world. So we have a great opportunity.
Well, I'm quite sure our African nations would be very, very much open to this concept as well, Mr. Jernigan. But my grandmama always told me, you start at home. So being that we home, we're going to make sure that this takes place here, now, and in the future. That's why this show is called Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But I want you to sort of go into talking about one of your associates, Mr. Love, and his company there. He is an entrepreneur, and he has a firm there. And he's been working with you on some projects in the past, and I know that maybe you in the future will have some input in this process. So could you sort of mention Mr. Ed Love and what his company does and how you see him playing a part in this in the future?
Yes, Ed Love is a Houston partner of mine that we met 4 or 5 years ago, and he helped me to deliver STEM education to today's inner city youth. And about 4 years ago, he had a project called Solar Tree. Now, the Solar Tree was really before solar really became popular in the Houston area. Now, that's solar happening in Austin and other places in Texas, but in Houston, solar has gotten off to a slow start because we are oil and gas. And so they never
wanted solar. Without question, that it is the capital of the world and when it comes to oil and gas. So I understand the powers that be. So that's why I was so happy to hear about this breakthrough with the mayor selecting this project.
And now, the Solar Tree was a beautiful sight to see. If you can imagine a tree, something that looks like a tree with seating underneath it that has the technology to sit there, plug in your phone, do the internet, power up your battery, but also have solar panels off of the top providing shade. Beautiful sight. And we built one of those in an area called Stafford, Missouri City here in Houston, the Houston area. And just beautiful. And now he's also working on a project in the Houston Medical Center to do an establishment that will be powered by some of the energy that we're going to make. So he's going to be one of our off-takers. And so, yes, we've been partners for a while and have a lot of successful things to do in the near future. But
well,
if I can.
Yeah, go right ahead.
If I can give a background on the core of the STEM Foundation, I started it 15 years ago, and I want to put out the reason for starting the program. Working in the chemical industry, you look around and there's not a lot of African Americans there. So being a part of the hiring process, I asked why. Why don't we recruit from Texas Southern? Why don't we recruit from Prairie View? And the real core reason is most of those industries don't come to the inner city to say there's opportunities out here. So the STEM Foundation was created to enlighten kids about opportunities in the energy industry. So once a month, I would take 3rd to 12th grade students out to the chemical industry and let them see science, technology, engineering, and math in areas that we traditionally don't go or get jobs in. And so over the last couple of years, we've had the STEM industry now coming into Houston and making presentations on Saturday about their careers, and now we've enlightened inner city Houston, and people are going to colleges and universities to get degrees to go out and work in that industry. So once again, we're taking a model and we're exposing it to 3rd to 12th grade kids to show them opportunities or a reason to go to higher education to get prepared to have these jobs of tomorrow. And so once again, we've created something that we hope will be replicated not only in Houston, but D.C. and across the world. Oh, let me mention this. We're also doing a work in South Africa. 2018, we went over to Cliptown where Mandela signed the proclamation, and we gave away 100 solar lamps. Now, a solar lamp is connected to a solar panel about the size of a dollar. And we gave these away, placed them on the rooftop of a village, and the sun shines, powers up the light bulb, and the light bulb shines for 8 hours at night with people that are still using kerosene lamps. Now, you know, that just brought tears in my eyes to realize that there's a society that's still using kerosene lamps and don't have lights at night. And so 2021, we're going to go back, and we're going to build a school with solar and agriculture. So what we're doing in Houston is only the foundation of what we're about to do around the world.
Well, that is why I wanted to introduce the Green Sustainability 5-Year Plan. I hope you had an opportunity to look at that information I sent to you.
I did.
Well, you saw how comprehensive that work is, and what we're saying is we're not trying to tell our HBCUs what to do first. What we're saying is we have a plan, and if you initiate this plan, then we can extract the data, and we can go and get the funding from the federal and state levels, because this is the power of our American-owned solar installation and development companies. Development companies have the power to raise venture capital for these projects. This is their arena. This is what they do. They have financiers. And we have, as a part of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, built working relationships with our African-American organizations around the country, and we have pushed very hard to get this HBCU collaborative to understand. You can't just go sign memorandums of understanding and leave your companies out of the loop. And it's something that some people may not want to hear, but the fact of the matter is out of over 9,000 solar installation and design and development and installation companies doing business in the United States of America, we have less than 40 companies that I've been able to identify. So to have companies who have proven track records, who have done magnificent, outstanding work for years, be interested in working with our HBCUs, our schools have to understand that some folks have to humble themselves and understand, look, we got to go to people who look like us, who are part of us, and not think that somebody else's ice is colder.
Right.
And this is an issue with a lot of our HBCUs, and I call it what it is. We keep, because we try to make it plain as to why our young people are not being trained in these areas. I brought up this yesterday at the Maryland Clean Energy Summit to the people from SEIA. Y'all can go out publicly and talk about you signed a memorandum of understanding and you have a pledge that you've launched trying to get white companies who are solar installation development installment and design companies to hire people. You can't pledge nobody into getting them to do nothing. You can't pledge nobody into doing nothing. So the bottom line is, if these companies don't want to hire our young folk, then we need to hire them ourselves. That means our companies and organizations like your organization need to be put on steroids in terms of getting the funding and getting the support base and everything that they need to move this forward. And I know that there are folks who are in the energy industry who looks just like me and you and who understand this, and they're working in their lanes inside of these corporations, and people don't even know what these people are doing. Just like you were taking young people back to on Saturdays, introducing them to STEM in the gas and oil fields, because as you said, there are very few of folks of diversity in this, and it's not just black women, it's black folks, period, male and female. There are very few young African Americans being given these opportunities for this exposure. And we have to expose our kids very, very early, because they need to start taking the correct courses way down in elementary schools.
Yes, sir.
And this is the key to this whole piece. And I do know that you have the Talib Kareems of this world with stem4.us.org that's been working in the venues trying to get $1.1 billion raised to fund STEM education programs in communities of color, and specifically the black communities in our high schools, junior colleges, and our HBCUs. And they've been working on this thing, but it's not there. And during the CBC conference, they put on a brain trust. The room was empty. And I said to Tareem, I said, look, unless we get my show up on Black Talk Radio, the 1450, the Kathy Hughes' 1450 AM and 95.9 FM in the Washington market. She's syndicated in 76 cities across this country. And on our NPR, Black College Radio Network, which we have 38 HBCUs with radio broadcast signals, but they are all public service except Howard University has the only commercial station with a license in the country. And that means, long for short, those stations are broke. So you got to go out and get the advertising dollars to program shows of the nature of discussion that I'm talking about in the energy industry. And specifically, we cover all areas of energy, but we specifically have focused on solar and renewables, because this is the growth industry in renewable energy. Duke Energy, not Duke, but Exelon, which is one of your major players in the utility industry, they are a nuclear power company, Exelon, but they own subsidiaries. They also own and control wind and solar large-scale power plants. And yesterday, these discussions were shared at the Maryland Clean Energy Center, when we look at the fact that you're talking about in the state of Maryland, for example, they're going to need to spend $27 billion to build seawalls because of the rise of the sea levels because of climate change. These are things that are coming, folks. The Senator Ben Cardin from Maryland talked about the extension of the 30% federal investment tax credit that's due to expire this year, and they're working, Congress now is working on it, trying to get that extended. Then they're working on an energy storage investment tax credit, because without battery storage, which is another major component and which our schools need to be heavily vested in, our young people in research and development in this new battery storage arena, because that comes right under the auspices of STEM education. So all of these things are available, but he went on to, some of the speakers went on to say, and Van Cardin said that the federal government has put past bills, and they put $50 billion for the capitalization of green banks around the country for municipalities, state governments to come in, and they can apply to get funding to start their own green banks. So when you go to these forums, I just made notes on things that I know that our listening audience need to be aware of when we're talking about looking at how the Hagerstown Community College in Maryland has adopted all of these workforce development training programs. And these are the things that I am paying very, very close attention to, what universities, what community colleges are the local and state governments partnering with to train this thing. And you will find out that very few of those things are being targeted for our historically black colleges and universities. We have to speak to these issues and bring them to the table, because this is where the funding is going. And yeah, we got to always talk about, let's follow the money, because this show is called Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on black America, because it's going to have an economic impact on black America. It's just like listening to Carl Nelson's show, who Brother Nelson comes on WOL Radio 1450 AM here in the nation's capital, and Carl does an excellent job. But he was talking about the wildfires that were out in L.A., and they were talking about the Santa Ana winds. So brother calls in from Compton, and he says, well, you know, that's up in the mountains. That's up in there with the rich white folk, and it really don't affect us down here. And I called in, and I said, well, brother, you might need to pick up your utility bill, because you will find out that PG&E out in California had a case that was just rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court, where they were trying to recoup, of California, where they were trying to recoup $379 million from you for liabilities that they were held responsible for in that last major fire in San Diego County that wiped out over 19,000 homes and caused billions of dollars of damage. Now, people are suffering from blackouts because when the utility companies, they are monitoring the weather consistently 24 hours a day, and when they see the conditions are right for
burn their infrastructure. You still there? Mr. Bethe.
Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, welcome back to the Airways of Soul and Now, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. We had a short problem here. My call dropped, and that sort of, Mr. Jernigan, if you could call back into the show, I would greatly appreciate it because we got cut off here, and I had to go back to the Airways. So we're going to take a pause for the calls here on Soul and Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we apologize to our listening audience here on the Airways of Soul and Now in the Future.
Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome back to the Airways of Soul and Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We was hoping that we would be able to get our guests back on. very shortly here. I'm going to try to reach Mr. Jernigan. We're going to take another pause for the calls, and we'll be right back on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black. Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and we very much apologize to our listening audience that have been joining us here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We had a few technical problems here in our studio today, but we have those issues resolved now. We're hoping we'll be joined back by Mr. Ed Jernigan from Houston, Texas, and we're going to be ending his interview, and then we'll be moving on to another segment of our show here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But as I indicated, you know, we always try to bring you news that you can definitely use. So I'm going to take another pause for the calls here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Hopefully we'll be joined by Mr. Jernigan, and I will be closing out his interview because I wanted to do it properly. And I, once again, we apologize, but, you know, as they say, the show must go on. So thank you once again, my listeners, for joining us on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And we'll be right back on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
singing. I got you singing.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, it seems as though we're not going to be joined back by Mr. Jernigan, but anyhow, we want to thank him for taking time from his busy schedule to join us on this platform today from Houston, Texas, and we very much so apologize to our listening audience, but as we've indicated to our listeners time and time again, these are the conditions that we're working with producing this show every week, and we hope that you appreciate the effort and the energy that goes into bringing you this broadcast every week. Now, we want to change sort of gears here, and we want to talk about something that I was able to uncover at the 2019 Maryland Clean Energy Summit, which was held at the University of Maryland yesterday in College Park. And as I indicated earlier, that there were a number of companies and organizations there, and one of the companies that was there was Nissan. Now, Nissan, in fact, has a program for their ratepayers, for Pepco ratepayers in the District of Columbia and Maryland. Okay, I want to make sure I have this correct. Eligibility requirements and other restrictions apply. Proof of eligibility requires a $5,000 for the $5,000 Nissan rebate for 2019 Leaf and a $2,500 rebate off the MSRP for the sale of the 2019 Leaf, plus available or eligible for employees and customers of Baltimore Gas and Electric, Delmar, Pepco, Potomac Edison, and Seco, who reside in the following areas: Connecticut, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Okay? Now, let me say to you why the advocacy of this platform is so important. The last time that Nissan Leaf put out this rebate promotion, if you reside in the District of Columbia, you could not take advantage of this program. And I raised holy hell over this airways of this show about D.C. residents not being able to take advantage of this program, and they are also Pepco rate payers. So let me give myself a hand of applause for getting that done for folks out here. The issue is, do you know that this rebate exists? Now, eligible customers can receive up to a $5,000 rebate off the MSRP of a 2019 Leaf, and up to $7,500 for the federal income tax credit, up to a total of $12,500 in savings. Eligible customers can receive a $2,500 rebate off the MRSP of a 2000 Leaf, plus up to $7,000 for the federal investment tax credit, totaling $10,000 in savings. Additional state and local benefits may also be available. More range, more power, more confidence. Join us in making a difference as a part of the effort to accelerate electric vehicle transportation alternatives throughout the United States. Nissan America, Inc. is offering eligible employees and customers of Baltimore Gas, Electric, Del Mar, Pepco, Potomac Edison, and Mesea, M-S-E-C-O, a special opportunity to purchase a 100% electric Nissan Leaf. Take advantage of these special rebate offers and potential federal, state, and local benefits that may be available to you. How to get an exclusive order? Simply bring the participation Nissan dealership a copy of the flyer, proof of eligibility of residency, current proof of employment, and current eligibility bill with one of the aforementioned utilities must be presented at the time of purchase. This is an exclusive offer that expires January 2nd, 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. I am not going to say first. But I don't know anybody else who's bringing news like this that you can definitely use. So when we say we're about trying to bring news that you can definitely use, that is exactly what we mean here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And, you know, we're going to... We got to let people know who brings them this show every week. So when we come back from our musical interlude, we're going to be changing gears here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we want all those who have joined us to stay.
Here's a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, we had the privilege of being at the, as we indicated, Maryland Clean Energy Summit on yesterday, which was held at the University of Maryland College Park. And I had the opportunity to go to the one of the workshops, which was called Preparing a Workforce Today for the Energy Jobs Tomorrow. The presenters forecasted the future workforce needs in the energy sector and showcased model partnerships to address the demand. What resources and programs are available at the state and local levels to facilitate access to trained workforces for success in robust and diverse futures in the energy economy? You had presenting the James E. Nagurski, Assistant Secretary of the Workforce Development and Adult Learning, Maryland Department of Labor. You had Eli Allen, Director of the Center for Sustainable Careers Civic Works, You had Mrs. Sherry Brooks, President and CEO of the Power 52 Foundation. You had Chris McLaurin, Director of Maryland Apprenticeship and Training Programs, the Department of Labor. You had Robert Matthews, Director of Talent for the Baltimore Gas and Electric. Now, it was very, very interesting to listen to the different presenters as they talked about apprenticeship programs in Maryland, that they're going to be spending $3 million over the next 3 years with these programs to train young people in the state of Maryland in renewable energy areas, such as installers. I would hope they would be training energy auditors. We would hope that they would be preparing folks for other aspects of positions in the renewable energy sector of solar. Also, the certifications for electric vehicle infrastructure wiring. There's a very large need for electricians in the state of Maryland. They talked about the number of hours that a intern would be required to put in to these projects. They talked about the intake process. And it was a very, very excellent panel. And we have reached out and will be reaching out to bring some of these individuals on this platform to talk about what they're doing with their organizations in terms of workforce development in the state of Maryland. I mean, it's very, very difficult, ladies and gentlemen, when you are contacting people who are running these programs because they wear as many hats as Mr. Ed Jernigan is wearing there in Houston. People are very, very busy, and time is, as we speak, is of the essence in this industry because time is money. And we would hope that people understand that also goes into as to what we do here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, is to talk about that. Now, there were a number of other breakout workshops. We heard Senator Cardin, I spoke to those issues earlier. He talked about what they are doing on the Hill in terms of trying to extend the 30% in federal investment tax credit for large-scale commercial solar and residential solar in the state. He also talked about legislation that he has introduced for energy storage investment tax credit in the state of Maryland. They talked about ERE, and he talked about the issues of rising sea levels in the state of Maryland and what they're projecting that they will have to spend some $27 billion in the state of Maryland to protect the shorelines and infrastructure of Maryland from rising sea waters because of climate change and global warming. He talked about the importance of the Paris Agreement and why it's absolutely, absolutely necessary for the states to push forward because there's no leadership from 45 administration on the federal level. So that's one thing that everybody's clear on, that 45 don't care if all of us got to go get a vote, because To them, climate change is not real. So, you know, the musical chairs that they've been playing with the Department of Energy, the other director of the Department of Energy, he has just stepped down when last, it wasn't even a week ago when he was talking about, oh, he's not going to be leaving. And he didn't know he was leaving, but he's gone. So the Secretary Perry pulled into impeachment fray while denying reports that he will resign. Well, he denied it. This was published on October the 8th. Last time I checked, it was the 23rd. And he talked about he wasn't going nowhere no time soon. But guess what? 45 been giving some skates, y'all. And I mean, they rolling right on out the door. So this is where we are with the administration. I don't know if anybody's in the car or not, but I hope that they've got the new technologies there where they can do robotics and keep the vehicle from crashing. Because this is where we are. I don't have to talk about the political ramifications of the Green New Deal and how this is being discussed, but it's just like I said yesterday to the young lady from the Solar Industry Trade Association. I said, well, you know, you need to go to my website and look at what we have put up concerning promises being made by SEIA. Diversity and inclusion cuts through the noise at the North America's largest solar trade show. Yeah, well, we saw folks make a video. We saw people talking about what they intend to do, but we don't see any programs in place on the ground level at our HBCUs. And I shared this information also with them, that we have a developed with peer consultants a 5-year sustainability program that we would like to implement at our HBCUs. The issue is, are our HBCUs ready to initiate and be a part of this? Because signing paper and saying you're going to do something to provide employment opportunities for our young people without any infrastructure, without any plan as to what kind of programs that you're going to implement at these schools so these kids can see this and get involved while they're still students and take these internships while they're still at these HBCUs. If you're not going to provide the funding for this thing, just talking about it, talking about we're going to give you a job. Well, you can't give people jobs even though they got a degree if they're not trained in this area. They still got to be retrained. So why not let them get the training while they're still at the school so when they come into the employment market, they not only have had the classroom sides, but they've had some hands-on in the industry exposure so they can hit the ground running. But as I indicated to them, folks have a tendency to talk about us and not to us. So we don't need decisions being made by folks who don't get the entire picture, because you cannot move without involving the African-American solar installation and development companies to be a part of this. And I think the example of Mr. Ed Jernigan from Houston sort of reinforces what I am saying. Now, we are going to take another segment of our show, and we're going to do what we normally do, which is provide folks who are in the DMV market area with about job opportunities, career, solar career opportunity information session in the DMV market area. And we've been doing this weekly now, and we're going to continue to do that today. This will be the last segment of our show. And as I've indicated to our listening audience, you know, you can reach us by calling 646-668-2948. That's 646-668-2948. And getting people to follow a podcast is very, very difficult and different than having a show that's broadcast over a traditional bandwidth through the airways of radio. So the numbers are not going to be the same. You simply don't get the numbers. I understand. But this information that I feel that we're bringing the African-American community is invaluable. This is why we need to badly to raise the advertising dollars we need to syndicate this show, as well as yours truly needs to be compensated for the work that I put in every week to bring this show to you. So we're going to take another call, pause for the calls, and we're going to talk about those individuals who bring you this show before we take that pause for the cause, because folks need to know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and development companies. To address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for installation projects to bring down the unemployment and unemployment of young black men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on black America, is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio, from outside of your nation's capital in beautiful Tacoma Park, Maryland. And we are streaming over Facebook, Twitter, link. Also is brought to you by Scotland Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, newspaper, speech writing, book writing, speaker bureau management. And for further contact information, that's Scotton, Scotton Communications with an S at the end, network.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Scotton Communications, network.com. All right, now that we've done that, we want you to know you can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And you can reach us and come right on in and join us. Now, in our last, before we jump into our last segment, I'd like to provide you with some information, if you're a D.C. resident, concerning the Department of Employment Services and the District of Columbia Infrastructure Academy, which is located at 2330 Pomeroy Road, Community Center, first floor, Washington, D.C., the D.C. Infrastructure, DCIA. The District of Columbia Infrastructure, DCIA, is excited to roll out our new year programming and opportunities. The infrastructure is one of the fastest growing industries in the country, and the DCIA is committed to meet the needs for skilled infrastructure professionals in Washington, D.C. This upcoming year, the DCIA will offer the following career paths for training. The goal of the DCIA Infrastructure Academy is to bring multiple infrastructure-related workforce development activities together under one roof to provide D.C. residents high-quality specialized design training and programs that lead to careers in the district infrastructure industry sector. Interested in employment in the infrastructure industry, please join us and at the upcoming information session to learn more about the course offering and requirements. Okay, you have Pepco Training, SolarWorks DC, that's Grid Alternatives, Quick Path to Transportation, Commercial Driver's License, CDL Class B, Automotive Technician, Quick Path to Information Technology, Cisco Academy, IT Help, CTIA A-plus Certification. We host weekly information sessions promptly on Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. On Thursdays from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. What to expect during the information session is provided there. All right, DCI information session, 45 minutes. You will take a CASAS exam, reading and math assessment. It's 2 hours. Required documents for DCIA registrations. Documents are required to attend the information session. Driver's license and district ID, Social Security card, resume, proof of residency, state ID, utility bill, rent lease requirement, because you've got to prove that you are a D.C. resident to be able to participate in this program. Location of the Infrastructure Academy is, once again, is located at 2330 Pomeroy Road, Southeast Washington, D.C. The closest metro is the Anacostia Metro Station. Closest bus line is the A33, W2, W3, W6, W8, and 49 buses. DC Circular runs around Stanton Road and Pomeroy Road. So this is the information on that today, and we felt that we would use that segment to provide you with this information. And being that we did not get to our segment dealing with solar career opportunity information sessions for the DMZ market area, where basically we're going to tell you exactly what you can do to get this information with the last few minutes we have, you can log on to Indeed.com, ZipRecruiter.com. Put in solar energy in the box and put your zip code there, and all of the employment opportunities in the DMV market area will come up there, and you'll be able to get the information on all of the educational requirements and job opportunities, contact information. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you appreciate what we do on this platform. We don't know if you don't call us. And that's 646-668-2948. we realize what we've got to do, and we're busy every day trying to get it done. So we hope that you've enjoyed this. I hope we brought you news that you can definitely use. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we say go in peace. And thank you once again for joining us for another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Till next week.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.